Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have given it for our benefit, Lord. It's your guidance, your love letter, your direction for our lives, the warnings of the dangerous places. Lord, all these things, because you're our Father, you want us to have the best. So Lord, I just pray you minister in our hearts this morning by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, if you could take the light out for me, Anna, please, look. And we'll have, I'll take this down as well. Right. It's Ecclesiastes chapters 11 and 12. It's the last bit of Ecclesiastes. We've covered all the others, you'd be pleased to know. Ecclesiastes is the book in the Bible that nobody reads, right? It's such a topsy-turvy book. It's all upside down in a way. And the preacher, or teacher as he's sometimes known, or Ecclesiastes, that's his other name, is trying to get you to see something really, really important. To know God and his love is the most important thing that any human being can know. To experience and to live in the love of God and the Lord Jesus is the very height of what living is all about. And he's trying to warn us that there are many substitutes around. People will try this, that, and anything else apart from an experience of God's love in Jesus. And he tells us, and he points out, that if you try that road, it's a complete dead end. Right? Literally, a dead end. And so, we're coming to the end of the story, and we see the conclusions that he's drawing, much more sort of down-to-earth ones. Some down-to-earth conclusions, and I've got some, I think, rather amusing pictures to go with it. So, let's have a look to start with. We'll read the first bit, and the next, please, yeah? We have chapter 11, verse 1. Cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days, you will find it again. Cast your bread upon the waters. Well, what does that mean? Well, some have thought of it as they do in Egypt, you know, when the River Nile floods, and then it begins to go down, and it produces all that nice soggy mud that's very fertile, and you throw the grain on it, and then it sinks in and eventually it grows up, yeah? That's a possibility, but it's probably not what he's talking about. It's probably a reference to the time of King Solomon. And it said, it's in 1 Kings 10, verse 22, the king had a fleet of trading ships at sea along with the ships of Hiram. Once every 3 years it returned, carrying gold, silver and ivory, and apes and baboons. So he had this trading fleet. And basically the idea is, you send your investment on the waters, and eventually you get the return. Okay, that's the idea. Cast your bread on the waters. It looks like it's gone into nowhere, but you need to trust that it's going to be some good. And what it's really getting at is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. He says, store up treasures where? In heaven. Right? What you're doing is being generous in the time and the talents and the gifts that God's given you in order to use them to bless others. Because as you give them away, as you sow them, as you put them in the water, eventually you're going to find out that there's a blessing in that. And so Ecclesiastes is here saying is, go on, be generous. Give up, give and give and give, because you'll discover as you give, God piles it in again. And he keeps enabling us to be a blessing. So, cast your bread upon the waters. Okay? It looks like you've lost it, but you haven't. Right? Seek first the kingdom of God. He'll make sure it all works out. Right, then the next verse says, give portion to seven, yes to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. Now then, I've got a picture there, and that's not what it's referring to. What's the picture about? It's a basket of eggs. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Give them to seven or eight. Spread them around, yes? Because you don't know what disaster is going to happen. Well, it's not really what he's getting at. I've just used that as a picture there. No, it's really about being generous again. He says, give here, give there, because you don't know how it's all going to pan out, you know? Just make sure you bless people as it goes along, right? So, same idea. Cast your bread upon the waters. Give portions to seven, yes to eight. For you do not know how it's all going to pan out, do you? Right, next one then, please. If the clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant, and whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. Very practical, this. basically he's starting by saying, if you're looking at the skies, it looks threatening. In the time that Ecclesiastes is writing, which appears to be the time of the Persian Empire, things are beginning to go downhill fast. The nations are collapsing, the power structures that are there are going down, and the skies are threatening. And he says, when the tree falls, it's going to fall, and it'll stay there. Persia is not coming back. Yeah, Persia's done for, and the next empire is going to take its place. So he's saying, all these world changes, well, it's all happening, what should we do? And the lesson he says is, whoever watches the wind will not plant. There they are. Look at them. Watching the wind and watching the clouds. He says, whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. What's he getting at? Simply this. Yeah? Basically, well, it does require faith, but basically saying is, if you're watching the wind, you're waiting for the perfect opportunity, you'll be waiting forever. Right? If you're watching to see whether it's just right to start harvesting, you're watching those clouds, you think, oh, it's going to rain, I won't harvest here, you're never going to get the harvest in. What he's saying is, don't worry about what the conditions are, just get on with the job. Okay? What we need is faith and action. Trust that God's going to make it work, even though it doesn't look perfect. There's a phrase in Proverbs. Who says, there's a lion in the street? Do you know who says that? There's a lion in the street. The lazy person says, there's a lion in the street. I dare go out there, I might get killed. There wasn't a lion in the street at all. It's just an excuse. And they're looking at the clouds thinking, oh, it's not the right time yet. It's not time. Well, do you know what the Bible says? What time is it? Now is the time. Now is the time. So, he's warning us. He says, don't worry about the national, international situation. Just get on with serving God where you are. Very practical, right? Okay, let's have a look next. As you do not know the paths of the wind, or how a body is formed in the mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Well, I've got you the weather forecast there. Does the weather forecast look good on that one?
No.
No. A low means high winds, lots of water. We've discovered that recently, haven't we? Yes. Right. Now then, the thing about this map is, it shows you where the wind was. Right? Or it may be a projection using a computer model as to where the wind might be. But I can assure you, their model is not perfect, and they do not ultimately know. They will admit that, won't they? There's a 70% chance of rain. Yes? That's all they can tell you. Right, have you ever been hit by 70% rain? No, it's either 100% or not, isn't it? Yeah. But they can't be sure, you see, and it's still true today. I mean, it was definitely true to them in those days. You don't know where the wind's going, and you don't know how a baby is formed in the... There's a scan. Can you see the scan here? Just about make that the baby, eh?
Yeah.
A baby formed in the womb. Yes, well, these midwives wouldn't understand these details better than others, of course. So, there you are. Those are the pictures that he's referring to. Now, there's something really quite wonderful about these couple of verses, this particular verse here. It's a verse that Jesus quotes. So Jesus read Ecclesiastes. He knew Ecclesiastes, you know. And he quotes it to that man called Nicodemus. Mm-hmm. Remember, the man came out at night. He didn't want to be seen. And Jesus says to him, Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. He says, what are you on about? Can I shrink to the size of my baby again and enter my mum's womb and start all over? Jesus, you haven't any idea what I'm talking about, are you? He says, it's a spiritual thing. As the wind blows, you don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it's going. Just in that way, the Holy Spirit works in people's hearts and lives. And also, the baby formed in the womb, you don't understand how it happens, but my goodness, it does happen all the same. And so Jesus was quoting Ecclesiastes to Nicodemus. And the point is, he's making, it's a mystery. We're in the middle of mystery, dear friends. You know, you can't understand how it all works out. And you don't need to understand. That's one of the points that Ecclesiastes has been trying to make all along. You're not in the control tower. You can't run the show. So don't get all het up because you don't understand how it's all working out. The one in the control tower knows what's going on. And his name is Jesus. He's running it for you under the Father's direction. Yeah? So just keep trusting and get on with doing what God wants you to do. Right, so he says, you don't understand, it's all a mystery, don't get your little old head into a big spin because of it, yeah? Just trust. Okay, right, let's have a look. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let not your hands be idle. For you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Sow your seed in the morning and at evening. And it doesn't mean to say, start in the morning, have a break for 9 hours, and then go out in the evening. The idea of what the verse is saying is you start in the morning and you keep going. Yeah, keep going through the evening. Work at it. Sow your seed. What seed? It's the blessings that God gives you. It may be the message about Jesus. It may be the good deeds you're wanting to do. Do it. You want to be kind to somebody. Do it. Do it in the morning. Do it in the evening. Do it till supper time. You remember that song, you? Yeah. Only in the morning, only. Was it sugar or? It was sugar, wasn't it? Sugar, yes. Those of you who are of an age will remember that. Okay, right. And there, I've got a pair of hands, one on either side. And which do you think are the worker hands? These guys, the potter. Yeah. Right, yeah. I'm not against looking nice, ladies, you know. Well, I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about you. Yeah. I'm not against looking nice, but make sure you do some work with them as well, eh? Okay, he says, do this because you don't know whether one will succeed or the other. Just do it and leave God to make it work as he chooses. Yeah. So let's get on with doing what the Lord wants. Right, let's move on. Light is sweet and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. But let him remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. Be happy, young man, while you're young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things God will bring you to judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart, and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigour are meaningless. Well, I sound very cheerful.
Bigger,
energy, strength, yes. What's he getting at? He's saying his life's good. When you're young, enjoy it. Make the best of it. Yeah? Now, as old as someone once said, you know, what a pity youth has to be wasted on the young. But never mind, that's the way it is, right? But he's talking to youngsters, he says, and how often in our world, we say, don't do this, don't do that. You know, I said this to the children at Burramore, and I don't know whether the teachers like me saying it or not. You know, I said, here we are, we have these little babies, and they can't walk and they can't talk, and you invest a few years in their life to get them moving, standing up and walking, and then you get them to talk, yeah? And then you send them to school, and they tell them to shut up and sit down. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. Well, let them have a gas, yeah. Life's good. Enjoy it, young man, yes? Life can be good. And basically, he's getting at this. He says, remember, you're going to answer to God. And really what he's saying is, just remember that life's good when you're going in God's direction. When you've got purpose, when you know you're doing the way things God wants you to do, enjoy. And that's that verse I got in 1 Timothy 6:17. And I put 17b because it's halfway through the verse. And it says, God gives us all things richly to enjoy. Now, you won't read that many verses in that in some churches, you know. Right? Some churches you have to get baptized in vinegar. Right? Keep your glum, you know. We need more glum, don't we? We do need more glum. We're to be serious about our faith. I'm dead serious about our faith, right? But God's blessed us. And if you can't enjoy the blessings now, it's a bad job, isn't it? So, if he's giving you something to enjoy, enjoy it and thank him for it, then you'll enjoy it even more. Right? So he's saying to these young'uns, right, go on, life can be good, and while you've got purpose in it, really make the best of it, because you've got the energy, you've got the time, right, and that's the next bit that he's going to tell us about, because he says, let's have a look, let me have that last little bit, here we are, life can be good, but he says, just remember, youth and vigour are meaningless. They're not meaningless in themselves, but the point being is, they're rather a temporary thing, aren't they? Yeah. Here I've got a tent. It's beautifully furnished. I mean, look, they've got carpets down and all this stuff in there. That's a great tent, isn't it? Yeah. But the thing about a tent is, it's temporary. Yeah. And youth's just the same. Yeah. You know? There you are, you're doing fine, yes. Do you enjoy watching kids jump around?
Yes. If only we could bottle it, eh? Yeah. Be good, wouldn't it? Yeah. Anyway, you can't. It's them. Bless them for it. Yes. Learn to enjoy it. Yeah. But he says, and he's talking to young people in our next one, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, please. Yes. Please note, young people, he's talking to young people here. Do we have any young people amongst us here? Do you count yourself as young? Good, good. Right, Tom. You're on the list. Right. Remember your Creator now, he's saying. Young'uns, remember your Creator now, because it'll keep you on the right road, and it means you'll be really, really blessed. Yeah? Okay. Because troubles are coming, he says. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light of the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after rain. So there we are, he says. It looks like troubles are coming. It's a cheerful message for you this morning, isn't it? Well, I just want to say this, you know. There are some blessings in older age, aren't there? Yes. In fact, there's some wonderful promises. It talks about the righteous man bearing fruit in old age, you know. And you meet, who was it? The people that met Jesus when he was just born and he was taken up to the temple by Mary and Joseph. It was two old fogies. Yeah. And they were a blessing, and they got blessed as well, yeah? So, you know, they're not dead and done for yet, are we? But he's talking to the young'uns as a warning. Remember your Creator, because troubles are coming. And it's true, isn't it? I know we read in the Bible about people being old and being vigorous and full of life, but there's a few of the old cronks in there as well. Barzillai, his eyes weren't so good. We're going to look at all of those anyway. But let's have a look next time. So he says, watch out, because times are starting to change, right? And he's using a building image, believe it or not. I'll put a picture of Henry here for you. No, but I thought it was good though, wasn't it? Right, it says here, this is verse 3, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong man stoop, right? And he's using a house image about us and our bodies, right? So young people, he says, just make sure God's in your life now, because you may get to the stage where you're so taken up with your aches, pains and twinges that God gets squeezed out, right? Make sure God's in there, and he'll help you with the aches, pains and twinges, right? Now, he says, what is it? The keepers of the house tremble. They're the pillars of the house there. What are the keepers of the house? Your arms. Right? It's the keepers of your house, you know. And the strong men stoop, your back goes and your legs begin. The strong men are your legs, of course, yeah. They begin to, don't quite function as. You're feeling this, are you? Right, good. Right, okay. Well, with Morticum, right? So he says that he uses his poetic image, and it's quite effective to get the message home to a young person, because the young people, you were like this, weren't you?
Yeah.
He's like, this is never going to be my portion, it'll never happen to me, I'm fine, right? Yeah, well, there you are. It does, doesn't it? I remember, this was the Lord at work in my life when I was at Cambridge as a student. I had this thought, one day, I was a youngster then, 21, was, yeah? Mind fiddling, you know. Yeah. I thought this thought. Now I'm sure it was God at work in my life. One day I'm going to wake up and I'll be 80, and it'll all have gone by. Yeah. That's how quickly time goes. It does it. I've hit 65 now and getting close now. You see, it's nearly done. Yeah. Okay. So the building begins to fall apart. We've got some more pictures about it. Next one is. It says, and the grinders cease because they are few. Well, he's using the grinders as a sort of picture in the house, you know, the grinding, the millstones. I've got a pencil and board there. But you know what it's saying, yes? The grinders cease because they're not. It looks lovely, though, doesn't it? I mean, that just goes to show, you may not have many teeth, but he's got a great smile.
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it? Yes! So, you see, make the best of the few you have, I suppose, yeah? Right, so the grinders cease, you're losing your teeth. Next one. Those looking through the windows grow dim. Looking through the dim windows. Yes, you look outside and it's not quite as clear as it was. Right? Or you look close up and it's a bit more blurred. Yeah, or whatever, it depends whether you're short or long-sighted, you know. Right? But what's happening to the old boy there? His eyesight's not so good as it used to be, isn't it, darling? I went to the doctor's, to the optician several years ago now, because I'm short-sighted and I had difficulty seeing really close up. I used to be really good at seeing close up, it's only that now because I'm short sighted. And he had a look at my eyes, and I told him about this. He says, "Mr. Jordan, there's no easy way to say this, but your eyes are getting older." Right, okay, fair enough. Looking through the dim windows, right, okay, let's move on. Next one, he talks about the sound of grinding fades, right? The sound of grinding fades, yes. Do you like, is it, listen, oh, no, I've got the wrong bit, I've got the, well, no, where's that, I've got the place here. The doors, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, that's it, yes. The doors to the street are closed. And what's that a picture of? The hearing is going. Do you like it? They've improved the technology nowadays. I did have two pictures of those. There was one of another chap. He had his trumpet sticking out. It was quite something about it. No, we'll just have him. He'll do that. Yeah. So, how's your hearing?
Fine, thank you.
Yes. He's wearing his hearing aids now. That's right. Yeah. Very good. Well, we thank God for technology. Right, yes. Right. Well, so that's good. But our hearing begins to go on. Interestingly, this is quite amazing. The range of our hearing disappears as well. I don't know if you're aware of this. Young people can really hear high frequencies, very high frequencies. But as older ones, we start to lose those top notes. We can't hear them so well. And they did develop a little machine outside some shops, I believe. Yeah. They made this very high frequency sound that only the kids could hear, so it drove the kids away from being a nuisance near the shops. Right? That's what they used, yeah. But the kids were smart. What they did was they recorded the sound and had them as ringtones on their mobile. So the teacher couldn't hear it. They could, but the teacher couldn't. Clever kids, eh? Smart cookies. Anyway, the sounds begin to fade out a bit. You need to turn the volume up a bit more. I'm beginning to do that, you notice. Yeah. I do feel, I must say this, I do feel for our youngsters with the mobiles that they have, the phones, the MP3s, and the groups and so on. The volume that you're putting into your ears is going to do some damage sometimes. So, just a little warning there. Okay? I used to be in a pop group. I always made sure we stood behind the speakers, not in front of them. Yes, that was a long time ago. We played Oblada, then. Right, okay. Right, next one then. Next one is, "And when men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint." Right, it is early to rise. Men rise up at the sound of birds. Did they hear the birds? Did the birds wake them up?
No,
they don't hear the birds anymore. No, the birds are such high notes, they don't hear them yet. But the birds, when do the birds start singing?
Dawn.
Very early in the morning, even before dawn. Right? And what he's getting at is, as you get older, you don't sleep quite so long. Do you? Right, you wake up earlier. Right, it takes longer to get to sleep as well for some of them. Yes. So you understand. So you're getting in this category, Caroline. Okay, right. So when you're young, you should have a lot of sleep. Yeah, you should have a lot of sleep. That's probably another problem for our youngsters. So get to bed when you should get to bed. Don't be burning the night lights. Yeah, right. Because you know you need your rest. Okay. So, but the old guy, he's up making a cup of tea at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's true, isn't it? Yes. Oh, yes. Right. So. Right. Okay. Of course, you can use that time to thank the Lord as well, you know, and enjoy the dawn. Anyway, of course, if your eyes are working, you can enjoy the dawn. Yeah, right. Next one. What's he got then? "Men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the street." There you go. Well, that's not a man, but I thought it was rather a nice picture. Afraid of heights. Yes, and when it doesn't mean climbing on buildings, dear friends. Yeah, Jean's afraid of heights when I go on them. Yeah. She saw me on top of the roof one time, she said, "Oh dear, I shouldn't really go up there, you know." But never mind, I was doing some work. But it's not just about heights, it's about what seem like small steps to us. You know, and I just tell you this, I'm not going to be jumping streams anymore. I learned my lesson. Broke my leg in 2000 jumping a stream. Right. So you learn a bit of wisdom as you get older. Little things. It saddens me to see, you know, some of these dear souls who are poddling along very slowly, and you think, you know, when they were young, they'd be jumping around and hopping about. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, well, there you are. The old legs don't work quite the way they should.
Yeah.
You have to be a bit more careful about your balance.
Yeah.
You younglings, you're all right, okay. So enjoy it, one of you, eh? Okay, but you need to be a bit more careful. Yes? All right.
Yeah.
You find the joints don't quite do what they want. Yes. Right. Okay. Afraid of heights. Yeah. All right. Oh, that's that one. Then, and the almond tree blossoms. Here we have an almond tree. A bit of culture for you. This is a painting by. Can you guess whose style this is? It looks. Once you know the name, the style is obvious. Right. It's Van Gogh. Yeah. It's Van Gogh. He did a series of paintings on the almond tree, right? The almond, well, we've moved out of the house into the garden now, yeah? The almond tree blossoms. What is remarkable about the almond tree, as you can see there, is the blossom comes out before the leaves. And so the tree turns white, well, pinky white, yeah? Magnolia does that as well. So the almond tree blossoms. What's he referring to? Some of us grow grey with, you know,
what about your beard?
Oh, I assume that's probably grey as well. Yeah, but I don't bother with it. Yeah. Okay. Well, we grow grey. Now, some of us try to fight nature with these dyes, colourings, and things. Well, that's all right.
Oh, fair enough.
But anyway, there we are. There he is. He's gone grey. Why do you go grey?
All that worry.
No.
Well,
it can do it. Yes, you don't produce colour pigments. Actually, the pigments are there, but it's the sheath around it that stops the light getting through to produce the colour of your head. So, yeah, you grow grey head. Well, if you're fortunate, you grow grey head. Some of them don't grow any hair at all. Right? Yeah. Right. You've heard the saying, isn't it? You know, that people say about bald people. Was he saying grass doesn't grow on busy roads?
Yeah.
And the answer to that is it doesn't grow much on a desert either. But you don't mean to say that, you're nice, you're kind. Right, okay. Next one then, we've got the almond trees blossom. The grasshopper drags himself along. Right. I put boots on the grasshopper. He looked fairly fit when I saw the picture. So there he is plodding along. But there, some of you know about those, don't you? Yes. Right. Yeah, he drags himself along. He's not as fast as he used to be. Right? This is all, and what he's trying to get at is, look, young people, make sure God's in your life. Because these are the hazards of old age. And they can take up an awful lot of your time and squeeze God out if you've not got him there in the first place. Yeah? There's no fool like an old fool. Yeah. Right, okay, the grasshopper drags himself along. What else we got? And desire is no longer stirred. That covers everything, basically, appetites and everything else. Can't be bothered. Yeah? Well, you know, there was a time when you cooked a meal, a nice big meal, and you think, I love the tin. I've seen that happen, yes. People living out of tins now. Have you got tins going, Carl?
Just the odd one.
That's all right, yeah. Okay. Can't be bothered. And things don't taste the same, you know. I remember my uncle saying the only thing that ever tasted the same was when he was a boy, it was a banana. But I suspect his taste was going as well, taste buds, yeah. So, can't be bothered. You know, I remember my headmaster many years ago. We were youngsters in school then, and he says, now that I'm older, he says, I find it a lot more difficult to motivate myself to do things. Getting started is more of a battle, isn't it? Yeah. Well, that's how it goes, yeah? Right. Getting started, you've got 25 things to do before you start, don't you know? Yes. Never mind. Let's roll on. Here we are. And man goes to his... here we are, the end of the road. Man goes to his eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. So, last journey, eh? The mourners are around the street. They had professional mourners, you know, and they were looking for jobs, I suppose, and they come knocking on your door eventually, you know? Okay, so, the end of the road, mourners go about the streets. So, do that, he says. Right? Remember him, next bit. Remember him before the silver cord is severed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the spring, or the wheel broken at the well. Right, those are different images that he's using, and lots of people have made, sort of, trying to fit them into what they think they might be. It might be the spinal cord, or the brain, or the lungs, or the circulation. You're very inventive with the Bible sometimes.
But the basic idea of what he's getting at is, he says the silver cord is broken, and the golden, or the silver cord is severed, the golden bowl is broken. The idea is, that's guessing, one of these lamp things, you know, these incense lamps. You cut the string, or cut the cord, what happens to it? Broken, right? It hits the floor and smashes, right? So, and the silver cord and the golden bowl is another way of saying life's precious. They're precious metals. Life is precious, yeah? It's very fragile, though. It's very precious but fragile. The other is the fragile side of it. The pitcher is broken at the well. There's the crackpot. Well, we're all crackpots, aren't we? The events. Crackpots, yes. God specialises in blessing crackpots, though. You didn't know that. He's good at that. Or the wheel broken at the well. They used to have these wheels to help pull things up. Yeah. Well, it's got shattered into the well, broken. Right. And that just shows you how fragile life is. It's easy to break. And he says, well, remember your Creator before time runs out. Because when time's run out, it's too late. And so we come to the final conclusions. He says, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. I've got one more yet. And the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Now that's, I don't know if you realise this, but that's a fascinating verse. Because he's saying that when we die, there's a separation. You see, up to now he's been talking about what it looks like under the sun. Life under the sun means when you're dead, you're dead. Game over, finish. Yeah? That's how it looks like, yeah? But he's now saying, when you die, there's a separation. Dust to dust. But the spirit lives on and goes to meet its maker. And it goes to its maker, and it may be a very unfortunate meeting if you haven't had God in your life before. So, the dust returns to dust, obviously a reference to Genesis 3. Remember when God said to Adam and Eve, and they sinned, dust you are, and to dust you will return. And that's, it's a fact, isn't it, dear friends? I mean, if I boiled you down and got all the chemicals together, you wouldn't be worth more than a couple of quid. Yeah? Yeah? Mostly water, you are, 70% water, calcium, bit of manganese, few special elements, carbon, bit of hydrogen. Bob's your uncle, that's you. Get them from the chemist, I'll buy you from the chemist anytime. Eat it. Huh? Gallon of water and a few cans and we've got you. What's the difference is how it's put together. And I'm digressing now, but it's really important to grasp this. Is when we die, all that chemistry just dissolves. It goes back to the dust, we call it, the chemistry. Yeah. But the interesting thing is, God has the DNA blueprint that made you, you. Right? He knows how to put the chemicals back together so that he can recreate you, even though they may turn you into 1,000 pieces and blow you away in the dust. Yeah? The good news is, so when he says, you know, when we die, how's he going to bring all these people back? He's got the master blueprint. He knows you, right? And he's got you in his hands. And you can say, right to the dust. One day, if we die and we're buried, our spirit goes to be with him. If you believe in Jesus, you're trusting in Jesus, it won't be a dreadful meeting with God, it'll be a joy. Right? And our spirit will be reunited with our bodies, our resurrected bodies, made according to the brand new blueprint of the resurrection body, and we're going to be with him forever. Right? Okay, so, there's a separation. The spirit goes to meet his maker. Right, now then, he concludes these things. Let's have a look, yes. He concludes, the teacher at the end here concludes this. He says, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, everything is meaningless. And he's really saying is, you look at it, you just leave God out of the equation, and what is the point? And it's a tragedy, isn't it, when you think about it, you look at some of these dear old people, I've taken funerals, and it's sad, you read about their lives, full life, active, able to do so many things, you know, skills and qualities that they spent years ago. I mean, I'm finding this, you know, I spent years learning things and now I forget them. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, you just filled up all the cells with all the good stuff and then they start popping and disappearing. It's not good, you know. But it's a tragedy. If that's all that there is, it's pointless. That's what he's saying. But good news is, that is not all that there is, and he's been trying to make the point all along. Keep God out of it, it's meaningless, but put God in on it, we've got something else. And then he says this, not only was the teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find out just the right words,
and what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads, and their collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Oh, he's giving us his credentials. He's claiming the right to be heard. Right. And first of all, he says the teacher had done his research. He says not only was the teacher wise, that doesn't mean to say he was a clever man, he was part of the wise group of people, the people who studied wisdom. He was wise, mind you, but he says he imparted knowledge to the people. That's one of the important things. Friends, you're not here just to learn, you're to pass it on. Right? That's what Jesus came to do, wasn't he? He came to teach in order that they could do. And we're to teach in order that we can do and others can. So he did his research, he tried to find the right words, he chose the right words to get the message across. Words are important. How you use them are really important too. So he chose the right words, and then it says, the words of the wise are like goads, and their collected sayings like firmly embedded nails. What's a goad? It's a cattle prod. Yeah. What does a goat do to a cow or a bull? It's not electrical. It's a bit of give it a shot. It's a long stick with a point on the end. Right. Have you ever had? You gentlemen may know this. You know, when you're doing something and your wife's not too happy with it, that elbow. It's a bit of a goat, isn't it? You know what I mean? In the side, something. Yeah. You understand? Yeah. Well, the goat, the prod, it makes you move, gets you doing. Right. That's what the prod's about. Yeah. But then the other side is, the words of Scripture are prods. They'll get you moving in the right direction. But they're also like firmly embedded nails. What's a firmly embedded nail for? Security. Hanging things on. Right? It's something you can trust in. Something you can depend on. You can hang on to this. It'll hold you up. Right? That's what the Bible's about. That's what he's trying to tell us. Yeah? It's firmly embedded nail, and it's a goad. And it says, and it's given by one shepherd. And the name of the shepherd is God. Right? What he's claiming here is that the Bible, the scriptures that he's just given, as well as the rest of the Bible is inspired by God. Right? It may be the words of the wise, it may be different people who've written it, but God made sure that what they wrote was what he wanted them to write. Okay, so the Bible, from front to back, is the Word of God. And rightly interpreted, will guide you and support you. Yeah? Hope you believe the Bible's that, because if you don't, you'll be on a slippery slope to downhill. Yeah? Anyway, he's saying this is the Scriptures given by one shepherd. And that's the amazing thing, brothers and sisters. I've been doing Ecclesiastes, and I've quoted Jesus, and I've quoted Paul, and the reason I can do that is, although they're different authors who've written different parts of the Bible, the one God is behind it all, the Holy Spirit, makes sure it fits together. And the more you study it, you think, wow, that's amazing. 2,000 years difference in time, and yet they're coming away with the same thing from a different angle maybe, but exactly the same message. And then it gives us a warning, because there's lots of other stuff around. Listen to this. Of the making of many books there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Right. You have to do any study? Any homework sort of things? Yeah, well, yes. Does it inspire you and get you going, or does it kill you? Wears you out, yes. I warned one of our dear young ladies, she's got some exams coming up. And she's not too keen on exams, as most of us aren't. And I said to her, I've got a sad warning for you, my love. I said, when you finish these exams, don't think you've finished them. Right, there will be more, but I said, when I did my final degrees at university, I thought, great, I shan't do any more exams anymore. And do you know what happened? I started dreaming about doing exams. You can't get away from them. Right, it's terrible, isn't it? Yeah, and the thing about when you dream about them is the papers go everywhere and the ink falls over the place. You know, it's murder. It really is. Don't do it. Anyway, he says, all this other stuff will wear you out. Make sure, he's not talking about the Bible here, he's not talking about studying Scripture, he's talking about all the other stuff. Right? He's warning us, there's a lot of meaningless stuff out there. Right? So avoid it, watch it, it'll wear you out. And then the final message is this is his last and great conclusion. He's saying, now,
All has been heard. Well, you can retranslate that. Let everybody hear. Let us all listen to this. It's for us all. Yes. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Now, his basic message after 12 chapters boils down to this. Make sure you've got God in your life. Make sure you're trusting him, respecting his word, doing what he says, and most of all, knowing his love. Yeah. Get God in your life. Because that's what makes life worthwhile. If God's not in your life, it's meaningless. Right? How many, and it's a tragedy, isn't it? How many people you hear about committed suicide and everything? I can't go on living. There's nothing to live for. It's sad. God doesn't want that. He wants to say, Jesus, I've come that you may have life in all its fullness. Yeah. So, fear God. Put God in the middle of it all. And then the other is, he closes with this warning. He says, there's a judge you're going to meet. That'll keep you on the straight and narrow. Huh? Just remember, you're going to have to face him and answer for all the choices and all the things you've said and done. Right? Now, that can be rather worrying.
When you repent, you're all right. Yeah, I think.
When you repent, you're all right. Yes, if you repent, you're all right. In the sense, yes, it's all dealt with. But that doesn't mean to say, when you repent, I'll just carry on as normal.
No.
Repent means you change. You change, yes. So, there's the good news. There is forgiveness. There is mercy. Right. But, friends, if you're counting on an 11th hour conversion, right, don't be too sure. There's no fool like an old fool. He was talking to these young people. How many will say, oh, I'll have my fun now? It's not fun at all. Yeah? I'll have my fun now. I'll blow it out. I'll sow my seeds. Right? I'll have it all. And then, just before I pop my clogs, I'll say, sorry, God, please forgive me. Right? Well, the chances are, well, you could do that. It might happen. Yes? But it's not very clever. Right? And the danger is, there may be another 49 bus coming your way, and you're not ready to say sorry yet. Right? And it could be a bit too late. Let me give you this as the final thing. There was, many years ago, a Scottish minister, and he was giving a report to her. There was a church meeting, and they were just asking, seeing how things were going. And he reported that it had been a bit of a slow year. He says, we've just had 2.5 conversions. Right? And someone said, 2.5 conversions? What do you mean? He said, do you mean 2 children and 1 adult? No, 2 adults and 1 child. He said, oh no, I mean 2 children and 1 adult. Yeah? The youngsters have got all their life to serve the Lord. The old ones have just got what they've got left. Though, and I just want to close with this, because he's been having a go at these youngsters, right? Well, most of us are of an age a bit, and he's happy. Just to say again, yes, look, it doesn't really make too much difference. If you serve the Lord now, the good news is, the Lord could do you through your life in 5 minutes what it would take 50 years to do without him. He can do wonders with old ones like us. He can, I've said this before, he can hit straight with a bent stick. Oh yes, that's our God. So don't be discouraged. If you've passed it, you're not totally past it yet. Right? Because there's work for Jesus and how to love him and serve him. He'll show you. Let's just pray and then we'll come and thank him for his death. Oh Lord, we bless and praise your lovely name. Thank you, Lord, that Lord you warn us about the dangers of the folly of running without you. Lord, it's a hopeless case. But thank you, Jesus, you've come that we may have life. And thank you, Lord. May we revere you. May we have you at the core of our being, Lord, and love you with all that we are. And knowing that, go on and enjoy the blessings you give. And Lord, even if we do have to struggle with the fading, weakening bodies, Lord, you said you'd be with us to the end of the road. Jesus, you're not going to give up on us. Lord, and we won't give up on you as you enable us to keep trusting. We thank you, Lord, and praise your beautiful name.